Thank you, Mary, for the beautiful song. During Epiphany season, we are following Christ, watching his miracles and observing what he's saying to us. In the United Methodist Church, we follow the annual lectionary reading schedule, so it gives us a variety of readings to consider as we go back home. Of course, the gospel reading, epistle reading, the Old Testament reading, the psalm reading. And it gives you lots of God's word to ponder over, to think about, but also to apply. When I was working on this sermon, I just wrote it simple based on what Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew: salt and light. Salt and light. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." And this is just a simple saying, should we say. I have been thinking a lot about salt during these couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. And I'm sure you have been with me. And I'm not just talking about table salt, but I'm talking about salt in very general meaning. Salt is most definitely needed. When Jesus tells us that we are the salt of the earth, he's telling us far more than you might think at first. Well, that's the case always when we read the Bible, when we study the Word of God. There is much more to it. That's, by the way, one of my favorite sayings. There's much, much more to it. The people who first heard Jesus say this would have thought about something quite differently that we think when we hear Jesus say, "You are the salt of the earth." So I try to share with you this morning some of what they would have thought, maybe, about when they heard Jesus calling that they are the salt of the earth. And then, yes, I would try to put it in our context some 2,000 years afterwards, hearing this same encouraging word from Jesus. Let's just ask first, what is the value of salt? What's the value of salt? It is hard for us to realize that how valuable salt was back in the days when Jesus walked the earth. I believe we have reason to say that salt is much more common these days. Now, let me use this example. When you go to the grocery store, salt is perhaps the cheapest item for you to get. Am I right? If you come back home and you said, "I got everything else, but I didn't afford to buy salt," then you are probably in bad shape. But that wasn't the case in Jesus' time. Salt was much harder to obtain back then and much, much more valuable than it is today. Much more important back then because of its value of preservative. Before there was electricity, before there was refrigerators, salt was one of the main ways to preserve food. We all know that. We here in Kentucky, we have Kentucky country ham. Are you familiar with that? Yes, you are. It's a good ham. Now, you can't say that there is no salt in that ham because there is quite a lot. Me and Serva were invited, this is years ago, for a dinner with our friends, and there was Kentucky country ham on the table with many other food. We eat well here in Kentucky. So I asked the host, my friend that dear, "Did you cook this ham at home? Did you fix it?" "Oh, no. No, no, somebody gave it to us 2 years ago." And I kind of hesitated a little bit to get to it. Because I said, "No, is it just because I am visiting you, you put 2 years old ham on the table?" Then I heard that, yeah, it stays good for a long time. Ladies, you know it better than I do, but it tastes good for a long time because it's been preserved well with salt. In fact, salt was so valuable in Jesus' time that Roman soldiers, we can read about it, were sometimes paid with the special salt raisins. Special salt raisins. That is where our word salary actually come from. It is also why when someone is not doing their job well, we sometimes say they are not worth their salt. They are not being very valuable. They are disappointing us. They are not worth their salt. There was even a common saying in Rome around Jesus' time that there is nothing more useful than sun and salt. Sunlight and salt, two main items you needed to just make it. So to be told that we are the salt of the earth is to be told that we are very valuable, very useful, very, very important. You are the salt of the earth. The word needs us. And whatever mysterious reasons I read from the Bible that Jesus has decided that he needs us too. Can you figure that out? Jesus needs us too. Christ needs you and Christ needs me. Christ needs us. Listen, I've been involved in the church ministry for quite some time. And the thing I don't quit wondering that how in the world Jesus needs us in his ministry. Because many times I have that feeling that we are not doing all that good to help him out in the kingdom enterprise. As the salt of the earth, we are both valuable and needed. That is not what your preacher happened to say this Sunday, but this is what the gospel says. You are valuable. You are the salt of the earth. Now, then secondly, salt doesn't exist for itself. Salt is valuable and useful, yes, but not by itself. Salt is no good on its own. It doesn't exist for itself. It is kind of obvious when you think about it, but salt is always needed with something else. This morning you use salt while fixing your breakfast, maybe on your eggs or whatever you happen to have. You needed salt. The salt shaker on the table is not the meal. It's not the food. It's not your menu. Let me use an example. If you invite your friends over to your house for a dinner and you decorate your table well, you put the plates on and your napkins and silverware and glasses and the whole thing, and then you put the salt shaker right in the middle of your table. As your friends come in and they be seated, so as a host, you start serving your friends by shaking salt on their table quite a bit. And you ask, can I give you a little more? You want to have a little bit? Yeah, maybe. Then you shake a little bit more salt on their table. Then you make sure there's water in their glasses and you are serving as a host. Now, if that's all you have, don't be surprised next time when you invite your friends over for dinner, they say, well, no, thank you. I'm too busy. I already know what you have to offer. Salt and water. Salt is not meal. Salt is not food. Salt is just to flavor your meal. We are to remember that in the church. We are not to get too salty. Just a little bit salty, but not too salty. Because people come to church for meal, for food. If salt is only you can give, don't be surprised if they don't come back. Christ is the meal of the church, and we are the flavor, we are the salt. Salt doesn't exist for itself. And that is true for us, friends, as Christian believers. We are valuable, we are important, but we are not for ourselves, and we are not the meal. If you misunderstood that you are the meal for people, you got it all wrong. In the church, we are not the meal. We may be a little flavor, a little salty pie, but Christ is the meal. We are very important to the kingdom of God, but only when we exist for more than ourselves. This is how I understand this parable. Only when we exist for Jesus, when we exist for Christ, when we are willing to be the salt, not the main course, not the main meal, not the main menu, we are doing what we've been called to do, and we are fulfilling our mission. Now, we are to, he must increase in the light of this. Jesus is to increase, but I must decrease. So is with you, my friend. This is what we learn from John the Baptist. Now, talking about salty guy, he was pretty salty guy, am I right? Would you like John the Baptist to preach to us every Sunday morning? I am not quite sure about it. He was just very salty guy. Some of you may say, well, Timo, I don't think he was nothing but salty. But he was right time, right place, because he was pointing to Christ. He was pointing to meal that people hungered for. But listen to this. Once Jesus came on the scene, once Jesus showed up, this salty guy said, well, now I know. He must increase, but I must decrease. Sometimes we struggle with this as a church family, if we are honest. We are. We believe that if I increase, even preachers do that. If I was to increase a little bit and much more, so I can be here and there and everywhere, and if they can increase a little bit, so we would win much more souls for Christ and we would do so much better. Now, yes, your leadership is needed. Your service is needed. No telling. We are just learning from it. But we got to believe, friends, we got to believe for us to fulfill our mission, it is Jesus who needs to increase, but we need to decrease. Am I right? Jesus has to increase. People need to know this church about who he is. It don't matter if they don't remember the name of the preacher or the name of the lay leader or name of you. It is not big deal. But after worshiping with us, if they didn't understand what we were talking about, that's a bad deal. Because they need to understand that we are all about Christ. He has to increase, and we have to decrease. It is same with us. Jesus must increase, and we must decrease. We are the salt, not the food. Jesus is the food. You come Sunday morning to church, and you need food. Sometimes you come to church, you are starving. You are starving. You're hungering and thirsting. I mentioned to you last Sunday, I think. Oh, you know, it was my pastor's letter. I keep on writing those letters a couple of times a week. I don't know if somebody reads them or not. Raise your hand. Are you reading your pastor's letter? Okay. All right. Okay. Sometimes when I check with Mary, she has a way to see how many people are reading. I said, let me know when they quit reading it, I quit writing. Come on, why do you write anything if nobody's reading it? Well, we do lots of writing without nobody reading. In the Bible, there's 66 books, and when I go visiting somebody, there's several Bibles in the library, in the home library, and I said, when did you read it last time? He said, it 20 years ago, I think I did it. But anyway, Jesus is the food. But I saw that revelation, or it was, I woke up one night and I hesitated to say it was revelation. Yet it was something special. I woke up. And you may say, well, your leg was just bothering you after your fall and that's what woke you up. No, it was more than that. But I saw something and I heard something and I was witnessing something, and I mentioned something in my letter, last pastor's letter. It says that I know it was the Lord. He said that before too long, sooner than you thought, sooner than you think, you can see people start hungering and thirsting for God's righteousness. Hungering and thirsting for God's righteousness. God's righteousness. Searching for food. Searching for nourishment for their spiritual life, because they feel they are so weak. And I think that is a wonderful thing. And then the next thing that came to my mind, that, hey, maybe we don't talk too much about it, namely miracles. As a preacher, I'm witnessing miracles all the time. I am not hunting miracles, don't get me wrong at all. I think our life is full of miracles, really, when you think about it. But maybe we should take one Sunday for miracles. He needs to increase and we need to decrease. To witness to each other, what do you believe is a miracle that has happened to you recently? Maybe it is a long time ago, maybe it was today, maybe it was yesterday. And just to share stories about miracles that God is performing in your life. Maybe they are everyday miracles. Maybe it is something that you really should tell after a long time praying and seeking for God's face. So please, sometime soon we are going to have Sunday for miracles. We are asking you, we are turning to you, share something what you believe God has done to you. And this is what people are searching and looking for: meal, encouragement, something that bless their heart. We are just trying to preserve it and make it taste better, but we are not the meal. If we are not doing that, then we have lost our saltiness. We never share anything what God has done to you. You are about to lose your saltiness. We have lost our mission, and that's a bad deal, friends. But when we devote ourselves to Christ and to the world, then we are truly being salt of the earth. We will be worth of our salt as disciples, as the old saying goes. And then finally, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Light of the world. Reflecting the light. There's nothing more useful than sun and salt, as the old Roman saying goes. Jesus calls us both salt of the earth and then light of the world. I feel it's quite a compliment to be called the salt of the earth and then the light of the world. But even more, I believe, to be called light of the world. You remember, you read Bible in the Gospel of John, chapter 8 and verse, I believe, 12. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. You remember? He says, I am the light of the world. And yet here, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us that we are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. I believe these days we take this light for granted. When we have snowstorms and ice storms, every now and then we may lose power. It makes you so frustrated, am I right? In the middle of, and especially if your house is like ours, it's all electric. And when you lose power, guess what? You lose everything. You lose cooking and heat and the whole thing, everything. Unfortunately, we haven't lost power now during this storm. It is easy to have light today. You just turn the switcher on, and then you get your light. But to be told that we are the light of the world is to be told that we are extremely important and valuable in this world. Yes, you are. Jesus Christ has let us, let your light shine before men, both in the church and in your community. And then he challenges us not to put that light under cover, under the partial basket. Let me ask you this, can you agree with me this morning that there is so much darkness in the world today? How many agree with me? A lot. A lot of darkness. Ooh. But yes, there's always been darkness. We live in a broken and sinful world. It can be a fearful place. It can be a very discouraging place. It can be skeptical place and angry and frustrating place. But you have the light in you. And you are the light yourself. The smallest light, flashlight or candlelight up a dark room makes a big difference. No wonder Jesus walked to his disciples and he said, let me rephrase it. Yeah, I am the light. But you are the light. You are the salt. You are the light. No matter how small your light is, it is exactly what this world needs. When you are in the darkness, when you are in a dark place, you need little light. So little light will make difference. The small acts of kindness. That's light. Friends, that's light. The smallest act of kindness. The simplest gesture of hospitality and welcome. That's kindness. That's light. The humble sharing of your time and talent. That is light. All these you have, I have, we have. And it gives glory to God, who is the source of light and salt. When I was working on this sermon, I write my sermon down. I do it. I write every word, and I hardly never step aside from my manuscript. And I have written sometimes, a long time ago, a note, and this is from Charles Spurgeon. A famous preacher in the American history. How many of you recognize Charles Spurgeon? Probably read his books. One incredible God's sermon. This is from him. I'm quoting him when he said, here's what he says. The Bible is not the light of the world. It is the light of the church. But the world does not read the Bible. The world reads us, you and I, Christians. You are the light of the world. You agree with that? The world reads Christians, not the Bible. Sometimes we have to kind of make some adjustment as a Christian believers to read more the Word of God. We can't ask non-Christians to read the Bible if we don't do it. But people reach us. So we must be the light of the world. As Jesus tells us, we are the light of the world. Now, this is sometimes to us a little overwhelming. I understand that it's overwhelming. We can feel like if we are the light of the world is not going to get very much light. It's sometimes breaking your heart and mine. Because our light can be seemingly so very little. How can we be light of the world if our light is so little? But guess what? We are not Jesus. Not even close. Nobody is Christ. Christ alone is Christ. He's the true light of the world. We are a reflection of his light and his salt. And something for us to take home today as we are reflecting upon this, what we are hearing. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. That is what Jesus tells us this morning. But he doesn't say to us that one of these days you will be salt of the earth and light of the world. He just tells us you are already the salt of the earth. You are already the light of the world. Why? Because you are my disciples. I am in you. I am your light, and I am the light of the world through you. And I am the salt, enough salt, not only salt, but salt and flavor to people by your kindness and love and mercy and truth and service, by being available, by being Christ and Christ-like for this world that is so dark. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen. We continue our worship time by the ministry of giving. If the ushers can come forward at this time to serve.